Hey, everybody, what's up? Hey, it's Monday afternoon, just getting ready to get rolling. And as always, I ask you, for those of you that are listening on audio podcast and on YouTube, give me a couple of minutes to just shout out all of our great partners, because without these guys, we do not do this every day. And I so appreciate you guys supporting all of our partners. First, 7 Mile Casino. We are in the 7 Mile Casino studios. You want to play blackjack, poker, table games, have an incredible lunch, dinner, or brunch on the weekends at Sammy's Restaurant and Bar. Inside the casino, open 24/7, great parking, freeway access. I mean, literally right off the freeway, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. No smoking. You're going to love it, and you're going to be a winner at 7 Mile Casino. Their website is 7milecasino.com. And for those of you that are watching, you can use the QR code right here, 7 Mile Casino and 7milecasino.com. Hey, speaking of, a little gambling, how about our people at Prize Picks? Because now we are all in. Basketball playoffs are going on. Baseball season and what's going on with the Padres, more exciting than we probably ever would have imagined, just in terms of their player acquisition and transactions and things that they're doing to try and win. So now, whether you're playing baseball every day, or you're playing the basketball playoffs, or you're playing the hockey playoffs, or you're playing darts on Thursday, please, guys, make sure you download the Prize Picks app. Use our code Great Friends. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. I've told you this for months and months and months. But if you've not yet downloaded the Prize Picks app, join me, Grande, Brown Man, and 5 million other people that are all playing every day on Prize Picks. We'll talk more about them as the show goes on. Use that QR code right there. Hey, to all of our friends at Blenders, you know, this past weekend, I was up at my daughter's college graduation at Boise, and I can't believe how many young people were wearing Blenders. And not that I'm surprised, because we all wear them here in Southern California, but this was up in Boise, Idaho. Every time I saw somebody wearing their Blenders, I was like, yo, man. Cool Blenders, right on. And people saw my glasses and they're like, dude, those things are bomb. This is my favorite pair that I've been wearing right now. And people are like, dude, those glasses are bomb. Yes, they are. BlendersEyewear.com. Use our code Kaplan. You're going to save 20%, whether it's online or in store. Use our code Kaplan. And by the way, when you're in the store, share it with other people in the store so we get credit for it. Kaplan is a code to save 20%. Hey, our friend Ruthie Edelson is back at Torrey Holistics now. So she's running marketing and she's running point on California Holistics, Torrey Holistics, and Oxnard Holistics. For those of you that might be up in Grande's hood, the 805 Oxnard, make sure you start to use Oxnard Holistics. This is the place to go, and you're going to save 20% when you use our code Kaplan Crew when you spend $75 or more. But those of you at California Holistics and Torrey Holistics, you know this, you've been using it for a really long time. Hey, shout out to my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. Never make a move in real estate without first talking to Gary. Been with the show for 20 years, more than 20 years. And it's amazing how people will call me and go, hey, what's Gary's number? I've been telling you for years, 858-376-1299. But when you need it, I'm here. You want an email introduction, I'm here to help that too. And if you've had a great experience, I've never heard of anybody having a bad experience, but if you have an experience and you want to share it, I'll put your name on the air gladly and share your email when you have a positive experience with Gary. 858-376-1299. And hey, lastly, Mushroom Life, Life Brew Coffee. So this is kind of an interesting thing. This weekend when I'm up in Boise, dude, I go into this buddy of mine's house. This friend of mine let me stay in his house, and it was a beautiful house, great place. He was out of town because he was at his daughter's graduation in Salt Lake City. So I go to his place, right? And I notice that at his coffee setup, he's got mushroom coffee, and he's using one of the other brands. And this is a brand that, like, if you know mushroom coffee, this is probably the brand that you know. Brett is going to be a disruptor in this industry with his coffee because his just tastes better. And how do I know? Because this past weekend when I was up in Boise, I tried it. I wanted to do a comparison. And you know what the first thing I did was? I said, I'll never let this happen again. So I called Brett and I said, Brett, my friend's got this other brand of mushroom coffee. I looked on the back. I read the ingredients, you know, similar stuff. And then I tasted the difference. Brett's mushroom coffee is like a latte. It's got like a texture and a taste and a sweetness to it that you're going to love. Life Brew Coffee, use our code KLYFE, K-L-Y-F-E, and you're going to save 20%. In fact, Brett says now he's going to give you 30% off. And we need to change the promo code, but we haven't dealt with that. It's probably a note I should make right here. Anyway, listen, now I have Brett sending coffee samples to my buddy up in Boise because I'm not going to let him drink another brand. All right, try it. Enjoy it, get the benefits of real focus, and that's what I find, and you're going to love it. So try Brett's Coffee, Life Brew, Mushroom Life Products, lifebrew.com. Let's start the show. Hey, great friends. What is going on? It is Monday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, as we get ready to hit the airwaves of 1090 on traditional terrestrial AM radio all throughout Southern California, as we go worldwide on our home base YouTube, make sure you're involved in our live chat. Like, comment, subscribe, share, the whole deal. All the audio podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, and goes on, and plastered all over television tonight, cable TV with the Cox Yearview Network. We are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, and we are just getting going. And I will tell everybody right now, because I know I had a lot of interaction with you guys over the weekend on social media. I am glowing today. I am feeling great. I was in Boise, Idaho all weekend long. I'm trying to rather than z, because people in Boise call it Boise, and people who don't know it call it Boise. And so I'm back, and I can't believe it, man. I am two down and two to go. I have got two college graduates. I cannot believe it. And I'll tell you guys, I kind of missed out on the opportunity this weekend to tell my daughter how proud I was of her, not just because she graduated, but, you know, man, high school, her senior year of high school was the senior year where the kids didn't get the graduation ceremony because of COVID 2020. And she started her college journey at Middle Tennessee State on a soccer scholarship that lasted all of about 2 weeks during COVID, came back, went to Mesa College here in San Diego. By the way, I always get this sense from people when I ask, oh, yeah, that's nice. Great. What's your kid up to now? Oh, you know, they don't really know what they're doing, so they're going to Mesa. I always feel like parents are like a little, maybe just a little embarrassed. Do not be, man. Don't be. Two of my kids went to Mesa. I'm proud of that, number one. And number two, it's so much better. It saves you so much more money if you use the community colleges the first 2 years, especially if kids are not like highly, highly motivated. So don't feel that way. Anyway, so to go from Middle Tennessee State to Mesa College to Boise State and to be done in the 4 years, just really proud of her. And so, guys, I'm back. I'm feeling good. I'm ready to rock and roll. There was so much going on in sports this weekend, and I have a feeling that those people who come here for sports are going to be happy today. Grande, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Congratulations, man. Two down, two to go, dude. That's pretty amazing. And for those of you that don't know, Scott has four kids.
Yeah. So does Browner. We have eight between us.
But Browner's got a long way to go. You're almost done. You could start to see the finish line, bro.
I know. Hey, dude, have you ever been to Boise State? Because I know when you traveled with the San Diego State football team, you ever been there?
No.
I'll tell you something, man. Their sports facility complex is pretty interesting. You know, their football stadium, which is a really nice stadium. I mean, it's famous for being, you know, the blue turf. But it's a very nice stadium, and it really does stand out in a small city like that. It's kind of like, you know, you ever go to like a major U.S. city and you see their football stadium, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, whatever, you know, and those stadiums, they just stand out. Yeah. The Boise State football stadium stands out in a community of that size. And the basketball arena is literally right next door. And it's the first time I've ever been in the basketball arena for the graduation. I'd never been to a game there. It's a beautiful arena. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I mean, Viejas Arena is a beautiful basketball arena, but you know how it's got like the one bowl?
Yeah.
Boise State has like the three levels. I mean, it almost looks like an NBA arena.
Is it the Taco Bell Arena?
No, it's called the Extra Mile Arena. Extra Mile, something like that.
I think I read that like San Diego State's putting in like some major renovations to Viejas Arena, by the way.
Is that right?
I think I saw that like 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, it's probably about time. You know, but anyway, so Grande, I'm back. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for the congratulations. And thanks to everybody who interacted with me on social media over the weekend. I put out some pictures of my daughter. This was on Friday as I was going up there. Dude, it's like the most likes I've ever gotten on any Instagram. That's how I'm measuring myself now, by likes on Instagram. You know, in fact, I'll tell you this right now. You guys like my daughter so much than you like me, so much more than you like me, that the post I put up on Friday had twice as many likes as the post I put up on Saturday, which was me and her together after the graduation.
Yeah. You kind of ruined the picture probably, huh?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When'd you get back? Yesterday?
I got back last night. I got back last night. I had two very weird experiences in Boise, by the way. I'm going to tell you guys about these experiences. You'll both get an appreciation.
The sea really stands out, by the way.
The sea, Boise.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, Boise. Really, I'm trying hard because every Uber, I took a lot of Ubers. Every Uber driver was like, they kind of told me, hey, are you from Boise? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm from San Diego. Two things happened, though, that were kind of both weird to me while I was there. My son in Pittsburgh always tells me about this sandwich place called Jimmy John's. You guys ever been to Jimmy John's?
I have. No, but it's big in Chicago.
Oh, it is? Okay. So I think I've only been like one time. So my son's like, Dad, Jimmy John's is great. And I'm like, better than Jersey Mike's? And he's like, I don't know about better than Jersey Mike's, but it's comparable to Jersey Mike's. Mm-hmm. So there was this Jimmy John's, and it was a Saturday. It was like before the graduation. It's like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm hungover from the night before because I made the terrible mistake of trying to keep up with my daughter and her friends. Big, big mistake, right? They're conditioned for this stuff.
Wow, man. Wow.
Right.
It's a proud moment.
Right. They're pros, and I'm like a guy who's been out of the game forever, right? So on Saturday morning, about 11:30 or so, I walk into this Jimmy John's right next to her house. I walk in. I swear to you guys, I walk in. I'm wearing these blenders. I'm like, I'm wearing sunglasses. I walk in. I'm hungover. I mean, by this time I've gotten up, I've had coffee, I sat in the hot tub, I freaking jumped on the Peloton. I mean, I was trying to get all the booze out of me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I walk in to this Jimmy John's. I'm wearing these sunglasses, these blenders right here. I walk in, I open the door, and there's a guy behind the counter, and he looks at me and he goes, Scott Kaplan.
Oh.
Not.
Big time.
Not, hey, I think I know you. You know what I mean? Right. He's like, Scott Kaplan. Mm. I'm like, yeah, guilty as charged. That's the name they gave me, bro. What's up? Guy tells me, he goes, dude, I listen to you every single day on the radio. He goes, I'm from Costa Mesa, and I listen every single day. I can't believe you're here. He goes, in fact, last year, my mom and dad ran into you, and they took a picture with you. He goes, so, dude, can we take a pic? I'm like, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
All good, man. But here's the thing. The bread at Jimmy John's is really, really great.
You scooped it?
I did scoop it, but it's like long and lean. It's not like wide and thick. I'm telling you, dude.
Whoa. What?
The bread at Jimmy John's, very good.
Did they also do that thing by the time you were done paying, your sandwich was ready?
I don't know about that.
So I've only been at Jimmy John's once, and I was driving. I don't even know where I was driving to, but I was in Temecula, and we ordered two sandwiches, me and the wife. And by the time I was done paying, they handed them to me. I was like, is this your guys' thing?
Is it
like you hear me order? No, I was off. I got off.
Uh-huh.
And we were the only ones there. So maybe that's why. But like they heard us order. I didn't even realize they were already making them. So by the time we were done paying, they were handed to us.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't know.
That's their tag. They're supposed to be super fast.
Okay. Jimmy John's. Let me tell you one other thing. They have an 8-inch and then they have a 16-inch. Okay.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's like the difference between me and you, Brown. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, that's what I was like. I'm surprised you would throw that out there like that, but I respect it.
They got an 8-inch and they got a 16-inch. The 16-inch is too big. I mean, it's just way too big. You know, like it's just too much sandwich.
But it's long and lean.
It is long and lean. You know what I mean? So it's not.
So it's not like it's like a traditional foot long wide.
Right. It's long and lean.
16 inches of long, lean meat and sandwich.
Because sometimes when you go into a place and you get a 12-incher. 12-incher just doesn't feel like enough. Like, I feel like I could need like maybe 2 more inches, but this is 4 more inches.
Right.
Right. 16-incher.
Absolutely.
It's pretty big.
Filling.
Hey, man, listen.
Very filling.
A couple of more inches of meat could last you all day, you know?
Yeah, I do know. Yeah. I do. Yeah. So what's kind of embarrassing though is if you get the 16-incher, it's 2 of the 8-inchers. So like my daughter's like, Dad, you got 3 sandwiches? There's only 2 of us. I'm like, no, I got 1 for you and I got the 16-incher for me. Like I didn't realize it was going to be like this.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, you scoop the bread. That's your eliminating inches right there.
Right. That's right. Then I had one other kind of interesting experience while I was up in Boise, outside of the graduation. Yesterday I'm in the airport and this is like now 5:30, 6 o'clock at night and I'm in the airport and I'm going to go to the terminal or the gate, whatever, C6. And we're flying from Boise to San Diego. So it's not that unusual that I might run into somebody that I know or somebody that's, you know, been a long time listener, right? This guy comes up to me and he's like, bro, we've never met before. I have to talk to you. I'm like, talk to me, bro. Talk to me.
Go for it.
He's like, you don't understand what you mean to me in my life. I'm like, my brother, listen, we're standing here in the airport. Talk to me. Tell me. He's like, you got me through my divorce, man. He goes, I was going through the most miserable divorce. This, my wife of all these years, I've got four kids, and my wife, she had this boyfriend, and you don't understand what it did to me. He goes, and bro, he goes, I listened to you get through your divorce, and I knew you were a family guy, and I knew you had four kids, and I knew that it was destroying you, and I knew that it wasn't what you wanted. He goes, and you got me through my divorce. And then after he and I broke down and we hugged it out, then he told me, oh, by the way, I'm the vice president of the Charger Hater Club. He goes, and there's my brother right over there. He's the Secretary of State in the hair. And so the next thing,
I didn't know you guys held elections.
Oh yeah. This guy's like, these were self-appointed.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
And he said this to me, he goes, and his brother comes up to me, he goes, bro. And the first thing his brother says to me, he goes, bro, he goes, anybody from San Diego that supports the Chargers, I got a big problem with that person. He goes, and I don't want to hear from people that it's the players and you got to separate the players from the owners. No, nonsense. They're all the same. He goes, he goes, and we went to high school with the Spanos brothers. He's like,
they probably hate him more than.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. So it was just,
we know those quirks.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend. You never know where you're going to reach somebody. You never know how you're going to reach somebody. You never know when you're going to run into somebody that's a listener or a viewer. And so it was great. And so really appreciate it when people do make those mentions, because it is very, very flattering. So
you ever guys ever have weekends where you don't watch anything, but you see everything, if that makes sense? Like, I didn't sit down and watch a single thing this weekend, but I watched it all.
I know, like, exactly I watched, what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, I watched everything.
I know exactly what you mean.
Canelo,
right.
UFC even, F1, NASCAR, Kentucky Derby, all three Padres games, even some Nuggets, Wolves. Like, I didn't sit down and watch a single thing, but I watched all of it.
I'm with you, dude. I know. Yeah. This weekend, when the Padres made the trade with the Marlins, I was like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. So while I didn't have a chance to, like, really legitimately sit down and watch the games, I was following along on my phone with the Padres and what happened this weekend. I was following along with the Dodgers and the Braves this weekend because I knew that was a series of two first place teams, and I wanted to see what was going to happen there. The Canelo fight on Saturday night, the Kentucky Derby, the graduation ended. I went to my car, I borrowed a friend's car. I sat in the car watching the Kentucky Derby on my phone, like, oh my God, no way. Can't believe this race. I thought that would be the closest
finish of the weekend, but somehow it wasn't. You know, like, say, highlight of the day, teaser. But damn, dude, like the things that happened in obscure sports, like the Kentucky Derby was incredible. The F1 race had a first time ever winner. The NASCAR race, physically impossible to get a closer finish, like literally physically impossible to have a closer finish. It was crazy. It was a crazy weekend.
I know. How about you, Brown? I understand exactly what you mean, Alex. Like, I know everything that happened this weekend, and I saw so much of it on social media. But I didn't sit down and watch anything until, by the way, last night. You guys would be proud of me. Last night, I landed in San Diego, and I really wanted to watch this Tom Brady roast on Netflix, but my Netflix account has been locked for months because the email address that I signed up with, I'm telling you, I signed up for Netflix 20 years ago. The email account that I used doesn't exist anymore. And I have no way to access it. So every time I try and log in, they can't reset the password because the freaking email doesn't exist.
Delete the account, bro.
Well, okay. So that's what I was thinking. But even deleting the account seemed to be difficult when you don't have the email, right?
Don't pay it.
Okay. Well, bottom line is it's been paid. So last night I got on like one of those chats on the Netflix app, and they helped me change my email from the previous email to the current email with the new password, with the credit card that was associated to the account. And I'm like an hour and a half into 3 hours of the Tom Brady roast on Netflix, which, by the way, I can just tell you this right now. Kevin Hart, hysterical. Nikki Glaser, amazingly funny. Okay, way to go, Nikki Glaser. Drew Bledsoe.
Nikki Laser. What? Dude,
yeah. Drew Bledsoe, incredible. Randy Moss, horrible. I mean, for a guy who's a TV professional and a big personality, you would have thought that Randy Moss could deliver. Freaking Drew Bledsoe was hysterical. So I'm an hour and a half. And Bert Kreischer, not really so funny to me. Tom Segura, okay. You know, Jeffrey Ross, hysterical.
Tony Hinchcliffe, MVP.
Who's that? Okay, I haven't seen him yet.
The tall, skinny comedian with a goatee. Okay.
Haven't seen him yet. How about the black lesbian woman who's kind of thick, who said she wanted to get down and dirty with Tom Brady?
I missed that one.
Oh my God, she was hysterical. How about Kim Kardashian getting booed like a mofo?
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty funny. I saw Dana White calling everybody out for being a bunch of liberals because, you know, he's... Yeah.
Ben Affleck was a train wreck, whatever that was.
Didn't see him. Didn't see him yet.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll keep watching it today.
Yeah.
All right, Brown. So, yeah, I feel like Alex really made a good point. You know, saw everything but didn't watch anything.
See, as usual, I don't know how this happened. But y'all red zoned y'all weekend. Y'all should be embarrassed. Y'all should be embarrassed. I actually took in the Kentucky Derby, okay? I had my horse come in second by a nose. But that's a different conversation. Also, watched Anthony Edwards. Also, watched Cavs game 7. I was intaking all these sports, baby. Bam, 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 bam. And then y'all get the Joe Musgrove news. Just took it all in. Just took it all in. Had a good conversation with a member of the San Diego Wave, who, until she comes on this show, you will be nameless. You know who you are, girl. You know who you are.
Would you bro out with a Wave player?
I wouldn't say we broed out. We agreed to disagree on many topics of local sports. One particularly drawing more fans than another team in town.
But what are you know. Wait a second? You're saying that wait a second. Let me just understand this. Where did you run into this San Diego Wave soccer player?
So I was lucky enough to be invited to the Monarch Party, where the Kentucky Derby is shown on the screen. Lovely place. Great bar, sports bar, as they like to be known. Overlooking the ocean. It's a beautiful place. Shout out to Craig Dato for getting your boy in. Brought my guy, Big Mike, my security.
Your boy.
And just, you know, lots of people. Shout out to Steve. You know who you is. North Turner, Dr. Chow. Ernie Hahn at Ernie Hahn's Boys. Just great conversation. A lot of good drinks. But Big Mike gets to talking to these two ladies in the corner. So I'm thinking my dog cooking. He got two on the, you know, he got two on the grill. Let me go see what's good. You know, I roll over there. No such thing. It's the person who will not be named and her wife engaging in a good conversation with my guy. I go in, I interject, hey man, how's it going? Because we got to go. And then I sit down because it's what I do. And she seemed slightly offended that I didn't know who she was. She was.
But did you tell her that you don't watch soccer and that you think it's a stupid sport?
Eventually I did, yeah.
She was offended that you didn't know who she was? You're supposed to just look at her and know who she is? I mean, if she's not Alex Morgan, I don't know who anybody is.
She's a gorgeous girl. Great player after I did my research. Very good player. Canadian. I love Canadians. But yeah,
what number? What position?
Number one. Name? She's the goalie. Okay, I will not mention her call name.
Yeah, you're not exactly hiding her identity, and you're just not going to say her name.
I'm not going to say her name since she appears on this show. The email has been sent. She talked big about me now. I'll come on the show.
For public consumption?
She was sober. I was
did
sober.
She say, it
was
did very, she say off was, the record? Or she said, go ahead and say whatever we're about to say. Ain't no off the record with me.
I'm not. I wasn't journaling. I was chit chatting. I was listen. I'm an athlete. She's an athlete. She's a 100% high level athlete. They talk big. What they don't understand is I'm a mid level athlete, but I'm a bigger talker than I was an athlete. You ran into the wrong one. You went into a pro talker.
Yeah. You talking to a real one here, girl. That's so, right. So you're
are you about to dunk on a fool, but with your words?
Bro, if she come on this show, she getting dunked on. But she know, because I didn't hide it.
Wow, what a weekend we all had. What an incredible weekend.
San Diego Wave, you on the clock.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, by the way, shout out to the greatest weekend in hip hop too. Y'all didn't participate in that. I did. Greatest weekend in hip hop history. Shout out.
Why is that?
Drake, y'all did y'all thing.
Oh, okay. Y'all losers. The whole, all the diss tracks going on.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Yeah.
All right.
Seven track weekend.
Hey, let me do this. Let me just say a quick shout out. Since I already mentioned our guys at Blenders. Hey, look, summer's coming, dude. I mean, summer is coming, and you're probably going to want to get some new sunglasses. So if you go to blenderseyewear.com or you go to the stores in PB Encinitas or the other brick and mortar stores that they have, use our code Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. You're going to save 20%. And while you're in there, do what Bernard Thompson does. Do what Tommy does. Tell everybody in the store to use the code Kaplan and save 20%. Get your new summer blenders ready to go. BlendersEyewear.com. All right, we're just underway. Lots to get to. Let's start with the Padres. We'll get going. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Hey, great friends. What's happening on a Monday afternoon? Kaplan and crew on the radio airwaves, on the stream of YouTube, on all the audio podcast platforms, and plastered all over TV tonight on the Cox Your View Network. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. By the way, quick shout out to 7 Mile Casino. If you are looking for the place to go because you want to play blackjack or poker or other table games, if you want to have a great lunch, dinner, or brunch on the weekends at Sammy's Restaurant and Bar inside the casino, all of this is smoke-free, great parking, right off the freeway, so incredible freeway access, and about a quarter mile north of the Gaylord Project down in Chula Vista. So really amazing location. And I'll throw in another thing. How about watching all the games, whether it's baseball games, basketball games, hockey playoff games right now, whatever it is, they got TVs plastered all over the joint. So check them out. Have a great time. Have a wonderful experience. And you are going to be a big winner at 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay. So I get a call from my father. You know, he's down in Delray Beach, darling. My father, in his retired life, you know, he's now a guy who drug tests baseball players. This is a very cushy job, by the way. He's retired, and the job is you go to the clubhouse of the baseball team, and you stand there, and you get these guys to pee in a cup, and you take their right? Mm-hmm. And so my father, and by the way, let me tell you something. When I say it's a cushy job, they don't let the drug testing guy drive to the location. They actually send a car, like a Lincoln Town car service. Sitting in the back, playing on his phone and do whatever he's doing, gets driven down to the Marlins baseball park down in Miami, shows up, walks in, shows off his credentials. Yo, I'm here to get guys to pee in a cup. And he does. That's what he does. So he kind of feels like he's close to the Marlins because that's the hometown team, and that's where he does a lot of the drug testing during the regular season. During spring training, he's schlepping all over the state. He calls me. He goes, did you see that the Padres and the Marlins made a trade? I said, yeah, I did see that. He goes, you don't understand. The guy that the Padres are getting is like the defending batting champion in the National League. This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, look, I got to give the Padres credit because, you know, last week we had that whole conversation about giving AJ Preller his flowers. And after we talked about that, next thing you know, the Padres went on like a losing streak. But you know what? Between the addition of Dylan Cease, the pitcher, at the end of spring training, and now the addition of this young man, is it Luis Arise? Is that how you say his first name? Because I knew Arise was the last name. These acquisitions, I must tell you, are incredible. I mean, it's one thing to sign Manny Machado when no one else is battling for him for $30 million. It's one thing to sign Fernando Tatis, but you know it was getting Fernando Tatis, the way he got him and what Tatis turned into so quickly. We've all complained about Xander Bogaerts and how much money they gave him and how little production they're getting, certainly this year, and even having to move positions. But when you acquire a guy like Dylan Cease, a frontline starting pitcher, and you go out and make a transaction for a defending batting champion, a guy who, by the way, gets four hits in his debut with the Padres. when you go out and make a move like that, and by the way, the way you the way the money worked in the transaction. Listen, I've been the harshest critic of AJ Preller. I've said for years he should be fired, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know what the results are going to be of the season, but I can tell you this right now. These two moves, Dylan Cease and now Luis Arraez, I mean, these are brilliant transactions. Will they result in a championship? To be determined. But these are brilliant, brilliant moves. And by the way, these moves show you the Padres, God rest his soul, Peter Seidler, they're still serious about trying to win. And that was something I was worried about when Peter died. What do you say to this, Alex?
I say this is a man that's on his last leg of his job, and he has to go all in to do these things. Like, because it's one of the things where AJ knows if he doesn't make the postseason, his safety blanket's gone, right? Peter Seidler's gone. And if AJ doesn't make postseason, chances are they probably let him go. You've been here long enough. So these are moves. And personally, when you get rid of prospects, unless his name's Ethan Salas, I kind of don't care because I don't know. I don't know how they're going to pan out. So to trade Dylan Cease for however many prospects, to trade for Luis Arraez with so many prospects, that's great. Let's go win now, man. Let's go. Like, does this move make them a significantly better team? I think yes, because they were desperate for another left-handed bat. They were absolutely desperate for a left-handed bat. I think the kid is an unbelievable contact guy. And this city is very familiar with what a contact guy can be. So I think it's a very good move. It's an all-in move because that is AJ Preller this year. He has no concern about an 18-year-old prospect because chances are he won't ever be here to see him. So let's go for it, and let's see how it pans out. I like it, though, because I like the guy. I mean, he seems like, from everything I've read this weekend about him, he's one of the most lovable people that the Marlins have ever had. Everybody loves him in the clubhouse. You see right away on Saturday night, he gets four hits and he's already smacking the coach on the chest with all his might. He just seems like another good clubhouse guy too, on top of him being something that the Padres needed, which was a guy to get on base.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah, me too. And I will just say that, like, when you read after the game how he was, Arraez was like, I love this team. I already love this team. I'm like, okay, bro, the euphoria of, you know, traveling, getting on a new uniform, going out and having the kind of game that he had, you know, four hits in a debut.
Then leaving whatever it is the Marlins are doing has got to be refreshing AF. Yeah.
But then to just walk in and, like, right away tell you after the game, I love this team, I love this clubhouse, like, just a positive energy guy. My first thought, though, was, so wait a second, he's a second baseman. Now, yes, the Padres can use him as a DH, but I thought to myself, wow, what does this mean for Xander Bogaerts? Because I can't imagine that there's anybody in baseball that would see the Padres trying to move Bogaerts, which I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that if they were, who the hell would take a $28 million a year contract with eight more years to go beyond this season with a guy like Bogaerts with the way he's been playing? So, like, to me, that was just all about a bat, not about, like, hey, we're going to put him at second base. And
he's a terrible defender, by the way.
I'm just making a point.
By all metrics, like, he is awful.
Okay. Well, so, good thing he got that bat.
Yeah, exactly.
Brown, what'd you think of that move?
Thought it was brilliant. Just going to say it. Thought it was brilliant. And my guy strikes again. I thought, oh, it's too soon to be throwing flowers. They went on a losing streak after you all want to give people flowers. Look, for Alex to determine that this be a move of, you know, desperation, I would disagree with that and say he is being aggressive because as an organization, they've been aggressive for the last 2 years, and that now making it 3 years. The last three off seasons, the Padres have been one of the more aggressive teams in Major League Baseball when it comes to acquiring and moving players. And they've been very successful at that. One season it turned up into something. When it did not, we'll see where this one goes. I, for one, applaud the ability to use these farm players to bring in real high-level Major League guys. Will this work out? Again, I don't know. But what I do know is that he's pulling all the strings he can, because this is a win now team. There are no development guys on this team outside of Jackson Merrill. Everyone else has a track record. Everyone else on this roster has a job to do. Everyone else on this roster is an established Major League Baseball player. We know what we know about every individual on this roster. This is a win now. This is no different than what they're doing in Los Angeles. Our budget just ain't crazy like theirs. This is no different than what they're doing in St. Louis, where they have a high budget. This is no different than any other put Atlanta, Philadelphia, who's on fire, by the way. There's no difference in what the Padres are doing. They are just making their moves early as to waiting to the trade deadline. I think this guy's going to be great, my personal opinion. So I think this is another great move. This is chess by AJ Preller, and analysis is correct. I don't want to see Ethan Stylus move. Everybody else, good riddance to you, man. Hope they don't hit you on the way out.
Good riddance.
He said,
later.
Good riddance. Get out of here.
I will give AJ Preller credit for one really thing that I don't even know how he managed to do, which is that the Marlins are going to pay for his contract.
Well, that's the most impressive part of the entire transaction is not just that they were able to acquire this bat, but that the finances of it all, Miami is still going to pay for it. Hold on. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. Before we do, though, give me 1 minute to just mention our friends at Prize Picks. Because, Browner, honestly, when I look at what's going on in the NBA right now, I'm looking for something, man. I'm looking for a play tonight. You know, I'm looking for, hey, Jalen Brunson for the Knicks, 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Too much. What do you guys, Alex, you got any smart picks? You know, you last week had that brilliant pick of Luka in the first quarter to score more than 7.5 points. So with basketball playoffs happening, every day you can play baseball. Like I was looking at Ohtani, you know, his total against Miami
yesterday.
Yeah. Oh my God. He had two bomb home runs. I mean, the first one was not as long, but the second one was a monster shot. Ohtani's hitter fantasy score 9. By the way, I got to get my people at Prize Picks to get Ohtani to have a Dodger hat on his player profile rather than an Angels hat on.
I got one for you, dog.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I think Browner will agree on this one. Tonight, Jokic and Edwards combo, 58.5.
Okay. Okay. Oh, my God. That's an amazing play. Points. Ooh. Is this a points just, combo?
Yeah. Just NBA. I just searched Edwards and Jokic Edwards more than 58.5 tonight.
You got it. Okay. So the only thing about that is that you're playing with that thinking that Jokic is good for 30 and Anthony Edwards is good for 28.
I was looking at it. Edwards is good for 40 and Jokic is good for about 20 at least.
Oh, really? So you're playing more than 58.
Edwards is a man on a mission right now, dude. Whether they win or not, I just know that dude's gonna ball out or die trying. So, I any points that Edwards gives me, I'm always looking at more right now. The way he's playing.
Let me ask you this. I love
plus Gobert is questionable all of a sudden. So if he's not in and Jokic is free, that even more.
Okay, I'll throw another one at you since we're talking about these combos. How do you like this one, Browner? Tyrese Halliburton and Jamal Murray for a combined 40.5 points. Halliburton and
Murray. Murray right now, man.
He's struggling, and Tyrese Halliburton doesn't score as much as he did mid-season. So that's a sneaky under for me. I know that sounds crazy, but for me, I would say that's a sneaky less. Under.
Oh, I like the play. I want to play less.
Less.
Yeah, I want to play less. Okay.
That's a sneaky less for me. Jalen Brunson at 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists. After doing some research initially, that was going to be a less for me. But the last two games, it's been 40 points and 39 points against the Pacers in the regular season. So this is up a notch. So I'm going to go more. I'm definitely going to go more on the 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
I got three plays. And now that I've got three plays, it's five times your money. So I'm going to play a $20 play right now on Prize Picks to win $100.
Units.
Units, right. download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS, and they will match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So listen, I'll tell you right now, I've been kind of harping on you guys about this one. This is a great, great partner for us, okay? And when they said to me about a month ago, we've noticed a real slowdown in signups on Kaplan and Crew, I went, well, I'm going to start hitting everybody over the head with this thing. And apparently you guys have come to our rescue because there's probably been a lot of you guys that have been hearing about Prize Picks for all this time. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it. Maybe I will get to it. And if you're like me, you're a total procrastinator. So For everybody that has signed up for Prize Picks, thank you. For those of you who have not, you are helping the show when you do. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And my play for tonight, Jokic Edwards, more than 58.5. Halliburton Murray, less than 40.5. And Jalen Brunson, more than 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined. 20 units to win 100 units.
Let's go. Let's
freaking go, dude. Let's freaking go. Let's freaking go.
Oh, dude, okay. You want to have some fun?
Mm. Oh.
Since we're going back to Padres, I'm assuming.
What's their name?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'll look it up. You continue with what you were doing.
What? What are you saying?
I was going to say, why don't we just mess around throwing some Luis Arias hits up in there?
Okay. Let's do it. What's he got? What's
the one thing he's available at this moment?
Oh, really?
That's okay. Why. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me do this. Let me get us back to the Padres. We started talking about the money side of this. Alex, show us how this all played out. What the Padres have now, because I actually don't know this part of it, is how much longer is he under contract? Because the Dylan Cease
contract. Oh, this year and next year. Okay. Arbitrations.
I mean, yeah. Great. Great. I mean, so you got control. How old is Arias?
You'll 27, I believe.
Oh, God, what an acquisition.
You'll be paying for him next year, but this year the Marlins are taking $8.5 million. I think he's owed the remaining of the year. So I think the Marlins are paying $7.9 million and the Padres are paying the league minimum, which veteran minimum, which is like $550 or something.
Why would the Marlins do that?
I don't know what the Marlins are doing, but we say this about the Marlins about every 15 years, every 10 years. They acquire all this talent. They have all these incredible guys, whether it be a Stanton, a Yelich, like it don't matter, right? And then they'll just trade them because they rebuild every 10 years or 5 years.
And they win the World Series somewhere between there. So
yeah, but the Padres, they sent away three prospects and a player. We never got to see them. Dylan Head was probably the marquee guy. He's the highest ranked prospect of the Padres. Not the highest, but for this trade. Jacob Marcy. Nathan Mortarella, who, by the way, was on second base when he found out he was, like, actually running on second, and they pulled him out, and he looked so confused. And a guy we never got to see from Korea, greatest name of all time, Woo-Suk Go. You imagine? Your first time ever, you're leaving Korea, you're, like, you're a free agent, you get to choose. Oh, the Padres gave me a two-year deal. Yes, let's go to San Diego. It's probably, like, this is going to be amazing, and he gets sent straight to San Antonio, and he never even sees Petco Park, and he gets to go to Miami, and I think they've won like 8 games this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was a great trade. I mean,
he's a great hitter, but for those of you unaware of him, don't expect anything more than just a bunch of singles and an occasional double. That's kind of what the guy does. So this year, 311, 6 RBIs, 10 extra base hits. As a career, though, a career 325 hitter, which in baseball is basically unheard of nowadays.
Right.
So, yeah.
So not a power guy. Yeah, not a power guy. And right away, people started to compare him to Tony Gwynn, which was like, okay, I get it. But I think the comparison is because of what you're saying. He's not going to hit for power. He's going to use the whole field. Show us what happened on Saturday, though, for those that may have missed it.
I believe this is his fourth hit.
The 1-2 pitch is to right center field. Bloop, it's falling fast, and it's in for a hit. First Padre to ever have four hits in their Padres debut, Luis Arias. Remember that name.
Remember that name. 4-for-6. Yes, I think he got one hit yesterday in the loss. But yeah, dude. I mean, you see his first two at bats, or his second and third hits were both opposite fields. He just slashes. He's just like, you don't really see guys like him very often anymore because in baseball they prioritize power now. Everybody's hitting home runs. Everybody's in for high slugging. But Luis Arias, like I said, if he's going to be the leadoff hitter, that's kind of what you need. You know, you need a guy that's going to get on base all the time and have Tatis, Machado, Cronenworth, hopefully Bogarts, to bring him in as often as you can. And hey, another left-handed bat, dude. And you're not going to trot out rookies anymore at the DH position. I'm sure that he's either going to fill in for Manny when he needs to be at third. He's going to fill in for Xander. He could fill in in left field as well. He'll be moved around, but I would expect to see him at DH more often than not.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, though. I mean, I got to say, listen, for someone like me who is an AJ Preller critic. For someone like me who has been saying he's been here too long, he's had plenty of opportunities, he's had multiple iterations, given the new ownership, and when I say new ownership, I mean given the fact that Peter Seidler has died and that, you know, there is a new face of ownership for the Padres, I didn't know that he'd have the sort of flexibility to make moves, but this is an easy one, right? It's like, hey, we get him for free. in year one, and we get control of him next year. And think about it, you know, like when we thought about what they were losing in left field in Juan Soto versus what they've come back with. And I don't mean like it was one for the other, but just think about the arms in the pitching staff, a starting pitcher in Cease, a leadoff hitter who's, you know, best batting average in baseball a year ago. Yeah. And to get the Marlins, one of the, you know, what I think of as being a broke small market. And I say small market, I mean, Miami's not small, but they play small market like baseball.
That's how it's ran.
Right.
Yeah. That's
they
how it's small, ran.
Right. For them to pay for it all. Yeah. I mean, it almost seems like, you know, like you pulled one over on them.
And to give AJ credit, and I think everybody's always given him this credit. He can always acquire talent. He's never not been able to do that from the Matt Kemp days. You know, like the guy has always been able to attract names, to get talent here, and he's not afraid to trade away prospects, however they pan out, you know? So kudos to him. I mean, he got two more dudes that everybody's aware of, two big names, two guys that can produce. And Luis Arraez was having a down year, and he was hitting .311. So
it's funny you say that about him acquiring talent, because I know that there were people, you know, this is post NFL draft. People are like, what were the Raiders doing? I don't understand what the Raiders were doing. And I was like, dude, I'll just say this about Tom Telesco. The Chargers never won, but man, he could build a roster. I mean, he could put talent together. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he was a great team builder. I could just tell you that he was really great in the draft, and he found guys, and he acquired guys, and he built a roster. And that is what Preller's doing. Now the question is, can all the talent that he's acquiring actually win?
And you know, healthy.
Well, and stay healthy, which will bring us to the next conversation. Brown, are you going to victory dance on Joe Musgrove's injury? Just let me know in advance.
Better wait and see, baby. See you on the other side. The hell? Scratching nose.
Joe Musgrove is now one of the big stories coming out of the weekend, and we'll get to that coming up. Plus, so many other things we wanted to get into today. The Canelo Alvarez fight, definitely want to get to that. The Kentucky Derby, got to get to that. So everybody stay right where you are. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and crew, and lots more to get to. Hey, great friends, just a quick time out here. And one of the things I just wanted to remind everybody on, and I kind of try and always figure out, like during this halftime of the show, I want to give one of our partners just a little bit of extra love. Today, I want to share that love with my guy, Brett Weiss from Life Bro. I mentioned it in the pre-roll of the show. Anybody who fast forwarded, now you're going to hear it unless you fast forward out of this. Dude, this guy's coffee is the best mushroom coffee you're ever going to drink. And how do I know that? I only know it because I told the story earlier. My buddy in Boise had mushroom coffee at his coffee setup at his house. I was staying there all weekend by myself. I'm like, okay, he's got this mushroom coffee. He must be into it. Let me try it. And by the way, I looked on the back of it and I was like, okay, let me see the mushrooms. Lion's mane, king trumpet, turkey tail, shiitake, and others. And I'm like, okay, so it's kind of like the same ingredients as the Life Brew. The difference is it's got to be the taste. And Brett's been telling me that people have been, you know, raving about the taste of Life Brew versus the other coffees, the other mushroom coffees. I got to say, honestly, guys, I'm telling you straight up, this has a sweetness and it has a feel like a texture, like a latte kind of texture that you can drink it with just this in hot water. I personally take regular coffee and then I take a scoop of this and I put it in. And then you say, well, why? What's the reason for that? I'm telling you right now, like the lion's mane mushroom supports memory and focus. That's what I get. The cordyceps mushroom, restore balance, increase energy levels and stamina. Turkey tail, great source of antioxidants and supports gut health. So there are so many reasons to use natural mushroom coffee rather than just regular caffeinated coffee. I like the combination of both. But anyway, Brett's local. You know what he means to the show. You know how he's become part of the family around here. You know what he did for Browner. So support his company. Check him out. Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, Life Brew. com, and he's going to give you 30% savings. Make sure you tell him you're a great friend. Let's get back to the show. Hey, hey, great friends. It's a Monday afternoon. It's Kaplan and crew, got Grande and the Brown Man, and we're coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. We're in the middle of a conversation about the Padres. We were talking about the acquisition of Luis Arraez, the player from the Florida Marlins, where not only did he come out and have four hits in his debut, but the thing we were most impressed with was how AJ Preller essentially got Miami to pay for this entire year of this guy. And you've already seen the benefits. We'll get back to that in a second. We also mentioned that that Joe Musgrove is going on the DL and or the injured list, and we'll talk about that coming up in 1 second. You know one thing I forgot to tell you guys, though? you know, this weekend when I was up at Boise State for my daughter's college graduation, you know, as a parent, you guys got to be careful of this. And I'm going to send this out to all moms and dads out there, especially those of you whose kids are about to graduate from college or maybe did this past weekend. You guys don't understand what happened to me this weekend. I got ripped off, dude. Ripped off by my daughter.
Oh.
I got caught up in the euphoria of it all, man.
Gotcha.
I got caught up in the euphoria. So on Friday night, the night before the graduation, my daughter is with, you know, her friends and those people, their parents were in, and I was getting to know some of the moms and dads. And this one couple, they're from Sacramento. And the mom and the dad both went to Cal Poly SLO, which is where my younger daughter's going next year. And their sister, she went to Cal Poly SLO. So the four of us, the two couples and me, I'm a single, right? We're all hanging out. We're at some brewery. We're drinking beers. We're having a nice time. Turns out everybody's super cool. So that, you know, you never know what you're going to get with other kids' parents, right?
Right.
And so the mom says to my daughter in front of me and in front of her son, she goes, you know, these guys are all leaving on Wednesday and they're going to Costa Rica as a graduation gift. And the mom says to Jillian right in front of me, why don't you go with them? And Jillian's like, oh, I don't know. I didn't even know. I wasn't sure. I didn't ask my parents, you know, but it's like, she's kind of hemming and hawing. Right. And then the mom's like, dad, it's all, the trip is prepared, man. Airbnbs are rented. All she needs to do is get herself down there. This would be so much fun. So then the guys are all like, yeah, Jill, come on, let's go. You should come. Right. Cause it's three dudes. And so then I pull like one of the kids aside and I go, yo, man, listen, you don't have to do this. You know, you don't have to act like you want her to go. It's three guys. You know, you want a girl to go, tell me, I don't know, man. You know, he's like, no, dude, we would love for her to come. She's the motivator, dude. She's the one who gets the, you know, gets it going. And she'll drag us to go do things. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much her. So then the next day, now it's Saturday, right? So now I've been thinking about it and I didn't really have like a graduation gift for her and I didn't know what I was going to do. And then now it's Saturday and now we're back at some other brewery and it's all these families and it's all these people, you know, and,
gotcha,
and right. And it's this one guy's parents and it's this other guy's parents and dude, the beers start flowing. Right. And the next thing you know, we're all on our phones trying to make reservations. And dude, now Tuesday from Boise to Sacramento to meet all these dudes. And then the next day fly from Sacramento Wednesday to Houston and Houston to Costa Rica. I got sucked in.
Sounds like a setup.
Oh, it was a total setup.
Sounds like a setup.
And you can't be looking like broke dad at the table. Like, oh, you ain't got it.
You know, Browner, I honestly think you're right. I honestly feel like the ego of it all was like, oh, really? You guys are sending your kids to Costa Rica for a 2-week adventure post college because the kids have their whole lives to work, don't they? You know? And I was like, shoot, when I graduated, I didn't get any like exotic vacation from my parents. You know, when my son graduated, he got an exotic vacation to drive cross country to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I went to work on Monday.
Yeah,
they got me because
my younger daughter, Julia, when she graduates high school, she's going also to Costa Rica for like 10 days with a family and her friends.
Maybe they'll cross paths.
No, they won't be there at the same time. My other daughter, Jaden, she's like studying abroad next year. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to look like the broke dad. Oh, yeah, dude, forget it. I mean, you don't even want to know. Don't have kids. Do not have kids.
You should have been at the table. See, what you should have did, you should have reversed it on them. See, I got three other kids, you know. My daughter, she's studying abroad next year, and I got another kid going to Costa Rica as well. So, you know, Jill just never brought this up, so we'll get around to it at some point. You know?
Honestly, I don't even blame your daughter. I blame the other parent.
I do, too.
Calling you out.
Yeah. Oh, I do, too. I blame the mother. Yeah. Her name's Cassie. And I'm like, Cassie, you just cost me a lot of money, girl.
Yeah,
and
she's like, I think Jillian put Cassie up to it.
Probably did. But I will say this, believe it or not, booking a flight on a Saturday for a Wednesday to Costa Rica, shockingly not as expensive as you would have guessed.
Hey, man, listen, don't try to make excuses. You got broke dated into it.
I am, bro.
It was cheap. If I looked it up right now, I'd be like, what the hell?
Dude, I'm trying to like get another job right now.
Hey, you know? Listen, you might have to.
You got the bandwidth for that?
I'll wait tables tonight. If somebody can give me a shift from like 7:30 to 11:30 tonight, I'll wait tables tonight if I have to.
They got you out here looking like Buddy from Price is Right. You're just giving out trips. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
I know I got taken. I did. I got taken. Hey, here. Let's get back and let's finish up this Padre conversation because I want to get to the Kentucky Derby. I want to get to the Canelo Alvarez fight. I want to get to all of that coming up in just a matter of seconds. Before I do, quick shout out though to my guy Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Mortgage Services. Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. I'll tell you this, man. People are leaving the state of California for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's housing is so expensive. Maybe you can't get homeowners insurance because it's so expensive. You know, maybe you have political issues, you know, maybe you can get a better job, making more money somewhere else. Regardless, I will tell you this, that the housing market is on fire. And when I was up in Boise, I was at this buddy of mine's house and I was like, this house is freaking beautiful. And it was essentially really a townhouse with a 2-car garage with a connected wall to the guy next door. And it looked like an apartment complex out in front. Cause there was like all these parking spaces. I was like, how much are houses here? He's like this, hey, 2 doors down, 3-car garage, 4 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, $750. I'm like, oh my God, in California, you can't get a 1-bedroom condo for $750. You know, so I'm telling you, man, if you were thinking about making a real estate transaction, if for any reason you decide you're leaving the state of California, you need help. Gary Cooper's the guy. 858-376-1299. All right, Alex, get us back to this Musgrove situation. What's the latest here?
The latest is that he has been placed on the 15-day IL. Mm. And according to him and team, it's for precautionary reasons. He says he hasn't been feeling all normal. He's supposed to pitch tomorrow. He's not, obviously. But according to him, he should be ready to go. He's saying, quote, I try to get through as long as I could. And I just feel like I'm at the point where it seems like a 15-day stint will get me 100% back and feeling normal for the rest of the year as compared to pushing through it and possibly pushing me out for more time. And I never like going on IL. I do everything I can to stay off it, but it feels pretty necessary right now.
Hey, Joe, here's what I'll tell you. Hey, Joe, no guilt, bro. No guilt. Seriously. Listen, it's freaking May, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. The Padres need you to be healthy and at your best in August. You know, I'd rather you, and this goes for you, Darvish. This would go for King. This would go for Cease. This would go really for any of these guys. I would take your time, man. Seriously, like Manny Machado, he did not come rushing back so that he could be the starting third baseman on opening day. You know, he did not. Shohei Ohtani is not going to throw one pitch this year. Dude's going to hit bombs. But you can't feel guilty, you know, because you're making $20 million a year and you're the hometown guy and you've been the lovable face of the Padres the last couple of years. Look, would I rather see you pitch? Would I rather see you work out, you know, the early season struggles, which, by the way, you've done a good job. But, dude, you cannot feel guilty about going on the 15-day injured list right now in May. If this were August and you were going on the injured list, be like, dude, got to be available when we need you, kind of a thing. You know, you can't worry about it right now. And I know, you know, all athletes feel that way. Like, you know, I got to help my team. Being injured sucks. You know, I feel guilty. You know, a lot of guys feel that sort of pride. But, dude, you got to be your best and you got to be your healthiest when it's August, not freaking May, dude. What do you think about all this, Brown?
I think it's funny that is the way that you chose to frame this argument, because this team has been famous for not being viable post All-Star break. So if you then tell everybody to take their time off early in the season and you stack all these losses up at the end of the season, when you don't cross the finish line as a postseason participant, and you can look back into the first 2 months of the season when no one was playing because they were trying to get ready for the end, I don't really think that's a good idea. So what I propose, you shouldn't have signed him in the first place. But you did. But you did. We here. We here. We here. I wish injury on no man at all. And because of the pitch clock, it appears that a lot of pitchers are now getting injured this year because they're blaming the pitch clock and the amount of pitches guys are throwing are faster than normal, and it's hurting guys.
I don't buy that.
That's an argument. That's an argument being thrown around out there.
I know, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I have a bigger problem with the ERA. Now, if that was lower and he was going on the injured list, okay, I got no problem. The guy's been throwing hard. He's worked his money. He's worked his weight in baseballs. It's good. But he hadn't played well. He hadn't performed at the top level that we expect Joe Musgrove to be.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He not balling like the guy who you paid all that money to, how he earned it. He ain't keeping up with that pace. And so I'm a little bit worried. I'm a lot of bit worried as well.
But wouldn't you rather him take 15 days right now and get himself fully healthy and see if he can get himself back to what he was, rather than trying to power through because he's feeling all this guilt about, you know, not being available for his team, and then all of a sudden he blows out his arm and he's got to have Tommy John surgery? I mean, wouldn't you rather him take the time now?
If we were talking about a calf, a hamstring, a back, a quad, yeah, I would. We're talking about an elbow.
Yeah, which is,
and
he's
it
a
never
pitcher.
Ends well. This is just a delay in the inevitable. Whenever there's an elbow, it usually lands on Tommy John. I can't necessarily remember a guy going on a 15-day DL with any type of elbow injury who doesn't end up gone for a long time. So, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. We get Dr. Chow on. He could break it down for us. But, shout out to Six Score. But whenever I hear elbow, see you next year.
Yeah, but I listen, Walker Buehler is going to start tonight for the Dodgers. And
how long he been
gone? Like 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm saying he didn't rush back to be opening day. He didn't rush back last year to pitch in the postseason. That was all rumored. Clayton Kershaw is not going to pitch until after the All-Star break. If I'm Joe Musgrove, I know that for this team to get to where it wants to go, he has to be healthy and he has to be available. You can't be worrying about that right now in May. You need to worry about that in August. And your whole point about them not being viable after the All-Star break, listen, I get what you're saying. You know, they've lost a bunch of games already this, you know, in the first month of the season that I'm like, dude, you can't be losing those kinds of games in Colorado. Can't be splitting two games in Colorado. You got to win those types of series. And you're right. Musgrove's not been great. But I'd still rather give his body the chance to be 100% rather than try and keep wearing him down. I don't know. Where do you fall on this, Alex?
I mean, clearly something's been wrong with him all year. It's not a surprise. Like, Browner's absolutely right. He's been terrible. And it's surprising that the injury is coming off of like probably his best start of the season when he only gave up 2 runs to the Reds in like 6. So I've been tweeting from Kaplan and crew. I'm like, this dude's hurt. Like, it's clear that he's hurt and they're not telling us something. And now for him to come out and say, yeah, if I haven't felt myself, yeah, take your 15. But that quote better not age like milk and come back and throw it in our face, because I don't ever believe anything the Padres ever say when it comes to injuries, ever. Because if you've been here long enough, you know that they're not honest about injuries here. So I like that it's Musgrove telling us, like, hey, I'll be back. I just needed to take some few days off. And he's already talking about, like, in 3 or 4 days, I'm going to start revamping. So hopefully that's the case. Because if this team wants to do anything in the first or second half, they're going to need Musgrove to be better. That is just a fact. So
if he turns out to miss a long period of time, the season's cooked. You depend on him, and you paid him like it, to be a frontline starter, a 1-2 guy, not a 3-4 guy, a 1-2 guy. And part of 1-2 is being dependable. Part of 1-2 is being available. And if he misses a chunk of the season, they don't have anybody on this roster to replace his production. He's not somebody who goes out and gives you 5 innings like Blake Snell did, and you just hold on for those 5. Joe Musgrove is a 7-inning guy who can get you through innings because he can pitch. He ain't got stuff, but he know what he's doing out there. So you need that. That's his calling card. And if you remove that from this rotation, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Because they're not as good.
Michael King seems more like an innings eater.
We said the same thing about Darvish, too. Like, Darvish, you can't afford Darvish to be. Like, he already hit the 15-day IL.
Right. Yeah.
But we didn't freak out about him because we didn't make sure it's about you, Darvish. So it's like, let's bring the same energy for every top-line starter. If Dylan Cease goes on the 15-day IL, bring that energy for him too,
well,
man.
Well, like, you know where Browner's energy comes from is you know, he even said it already. I told you guys that you shouldn't have signed him. I told you shouldn't have signed him for $20 million. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. You ready? Who's the worst? Yeah, you. Who's the worst signing? Bogarts
right now
or Musgrove?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Bogarts. Bogarts. Easy. Okay. Totally underperforming. Totally underperforming.
Can I say something that's related but unrelated?
Okay.
I'm good with the knuckleballer. I'm good with the knuckleballer. We don't need to see him anymore.
Like, yeah, that guy.
But dude. Like, yeah. And I always love when like Schilt after is like, you know, his knuckleball wasn't, you know, activated. Knuckling. It's like, bro, like if it's not knuckling, then why are we leaving him out there for eight runs?
You might as well pitch it underhand and softball it to these guys. Slow so pitch. Like
the Padres already have an issue because sometimes Michael King is a home run derby pitcher. Musgrove and now Darvish and now Musgrove have both hit the IL and your fifth starter and Waldron. I don't know. Sometimes it's like little league pitches up there, dude. Yeah. Like
he's a fifth
but
starter.
But like, whoever's coming up, Randy Vasquez coming up to pitch for Musgrove tomorrow, part of the Juan Soto. All right, bro. Come on. We need you now.
Give us some innings at least. The Michael King thing is like, it's like we were talking about last week with Casey Stearns. He's a relief pitcher trying to become a starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so Browner, your point though.
I think the expectation though is that with this pitching staff coach, Ruben Yebel, he always gets credit as being an incredible pitching coach. We saw what he did for Seth Lugo last year. So that's kind of what we were expecting, right? Like this Seth Lugo was never a starter. He's been in the league forever. He comes up and all of a sudden he's like a very, very good starter. And he got paid like it by Kansas City. So that's kind of what we're hoping for King, man. I know he's not been a starter, but. It's very up and down, but hey, it's May.
Yep. All right. Let me say this. So I think the Padres, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. They start a series against the Cubs, right?
Yep.
And just for the sake of setting it all up, Darvish tonight against Justin Steele.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
In Wrigley. Okay. Weather's nice, I think. So.
All right. Well, what time is it?
Okay, you know, sometimes.
This game's getting ready, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Hey, listen, let me do this. Let me move into a couple other things. Saturday in the early part of the day, I watched Kentucky Derby. I literally came out of my daughter's college graduation, sat in my car and watched the Kentucky Derby on my phone. And what an incredible race it was. And I was really surprised that, you know, for a sport like horse racing, which every year you hear more and more about, you know, all the problems the sport has and, you know, people aren't into it as much. And this was like the most watched Kentucky Derby. I don't know about ever, but like one of the most watched Kentucky Derbies.
1989.
Think about that. Think about how long that's been. NBC and Peacock say the most watched Kentucky Derby since 1989, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because there's more people, you know, maybe it's NBC over here and Peacock over here. I don't know. Maybe it's just the event. Maybe it's the promotion of 150 years. I'm not really sure why, but it was an incredible race. And it came down to the wire, and nobody knew who won, which was amazing. To listen to the race caller go, I don't know. I don't know who won. Alex, take a look at this. This is the photo finish. I mean, who's the horse that won? What was the name of the horse?
Because
I didn't have this guy because he was a pretty long shot. You know,
Sierra Leone
to win or place or show or what?
I had it to show, but it was a little bookie level action that was kicking on in the bar. Shout out to them folks. I put my little 20 in, you know, with a chance to walk away with 250, and I came in second, so I wasn't mad about it.
But the photo finish was ridiculous.
It was a great race.
It was a great race. Like you don't have great to be race. A horse racing fan. You know I am. You know I can't wait for the summer to start at Del Mar. Which by the way, this year Del Mar's opening day is on a Saturday, July 20th, a Saturday. Ooh, I know.
Nice. Oh boy.
I know, man.
Oh boy.
I know. Calendar. Oh, yeah, you got to look at the calendar now. I know. Yeah. My girlfriend's like, hey, we have this wedding in Vancouver. I'm like,
you have that wedding in Vancouver?
Right. I'm like, don't you and your girlfriends want to go to that wedding together?
That sounds like a girlfriend thing.
I mean, it does sound fun, but it can't be the same. Can they move it? How about they move it to Del Mar for opening day? But seriously, you don't have to be a racing fan to appreciate, you know, 2 minutes of energy and excitement and strategy and positioning, and then the finish, the photo finish, where nobody knew who won exactly. That was an incredible race. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know about the rest of you guys, but on Saturday night, this goes back to what Alex was saying earlier. I didn't see everything. But I didn't watch everything, but I saw everything. I didn't watch the Canelo fight, but I saw the Canelo fight. So from Kentucky Derby on Saturday into the Canelo fight in Vegas, we'll get to that part of the story coming up next. This is Kaplan and Crew. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. And man, it sucks that I got excommunicated from the Canelo inner circle. Otherwise, I'd have been ringside. I'll tell you more about that coming right back. Right, great friends. Hey, it's Monday afternoon. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. So if you're just getting with us on radio, because everybody who's with us on podcast and YouTube, you guys have been with us the whole time. So you're sticking around. Hey, we went from the Padres to the incredible finish at the Kentucky Derby. And now I just wanted to talk for a second here about another big sporting event. It always happens at the first weekend of May. It's always Derby and big fight in Vegas, and it usually means Canelo Alvarez. So there was a lot of hype around that fight last week because of Alvarez and De La Hoya jawing back and forth at each other. But let me just tell you one thing about that. Let me ask you a question. You guys think that's is that real? Does Canelo hate De La Hoya? Does De La Hoya hate Canelo? Is that real, or is that like scripted, choreographed? What do you guys think?
I think that two things can be true. I think that they can both hate each other, and De La Hoya knew exactly what he was doing. I think that that was the best promotion Oscar's ever done as a promoter. Normally, I find him to be pretty terrible as a boxing promoter, to be honest with you, especially the way he treats Ryan Garcia, but that's a whole other thing. But what he did last Wednesday and that press conference was a masterful piece of promotion, because I think if you're not a real boxing fan, this wasn't something that you were like must watch. But that press conference may have made it seem like, you know what, maybe I'll tune into this because let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't trust any of that boxing stuff when those guys start going back and forth. Because again, when I was growing up, Mike Tyson was like biting people. Like these people aren't really that upset with each other. Sometimes you get guys who have general dislikes for each other, but this isn't real hate. They're selling the fight. They're trying to get you to watch a boxing match. Any of these guys who hug afterwards, you don't really hate each other. You just don't. And two, it's hard to not, you know, be on a better space with somebody after they punch you in the face for 35 minutes. So I just don't, you know, I don't believe any of the pre-fight hype either. I'm going to watch the fight or I'm not. What Oscar De La Hoya did wouldn't generally get me to the screen during the fight, and it didn't. I didn't watch it.
It definitely made it more interesting for me, because I'll tell you truthfully, I didn't even know that, you know, there was this fight. Now, I mentioned every May, first weekend of May, there's always a big fight, and Canelo is usually the headliner. But this fight just did not register on my radar until literally last week when De La Hoya and Canelo start going back and forth. You know, put some effing respect on my name. And Canelo jawing back at him about what a thief he was and how he ripped off fighters and everything else. All of that made it more interesting to me. But here's what I will tell you this for sure. Make no mistake. Wrestling and boxing are equal. You know what I'm saying? Like this was not exactly like De La Hoya got up there and Canelo was like, gee, I wonder what he's going to say.
Right.
You know? Right. And it wasn't like De La Hoya and Canelo weren't like, hey, listen, I'm going to say this. You're going to say that. We're going to act like we're going to, you know, throw some dukes at each other. I'm going to back away. Then you get up there and you say some crazy stuff, because all we're doing is promoting the fight. So here's what I'm saying. Just like a wrestling match where there's writers who put it all together. We're going to have this guy and that guy. And then this guy is going to take the mic. And then this guy is going to come out and he's going to grab the mic. And by the way, I'm going to say this and you're going to say that. Exact same thing. I promise you, exact same thing. This was not like completely off the cuff. Alex, you're giving me a look like you're not buying what I'm selling.
No, I'm buying it one way. I'm not buying it two. It's not a round trip for me here.
Okay. Yeah. You're buying it one way?
Yeah, I knew what Oscar did was totally scripted and planned. But I don't think Canelo knew anything like that was coming. And Canelo's remarks were clearly off the cuff and just pure hatred. But listen, you maybe if you were still in the inner circle, I'd believe you, but you're not. So why would I listen to you? You don't have any sources.
I know. I got kicked out of the Canelo inner circle. And it's too bad too, because had I still been in the Canelo inner circle, I'll show you guys some video. And I know for those of you guys listening on radio, I always tell you to come over and look at the YouTube show. This would have been the video. See this video right here that I'm showing to you? This would have been video that I would have been shooting. Okay. Because this is ringside video. And had I not, I really still don't know what I said that bothered somebody, but that's neither here nor there. This would have been the video that I was shooting.
Didn't you?
Well, no, I didn't piss off the wife. The wife said she
did.
No. She told her husband, I heard Kaplan on the radio talking about Vegas, Canelo, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy who's like, you know, the guy who, you know, this is like his first big celebrity friend of his life. He got all butthurt about it. And he was like, dude, he ain't welcome back. I'm like, bro, you guys knew who I was. It wasn't like anybody in the group was like, who's he?
Wasn't like Canelo was mad at you. Like,
no, Canelo.
Yeah. Right.
Canelo don't have any clue who I am.
Right.
It's never the guy. It's always the hang arounders. It's never the guy. He could care less. He probably thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
It's the peripheral people.
Yeah. In the meantime, we just showed some video on the YouTube show of like super close ringside action, you know?
Oh, no.
And Canelo, I will say this, Alex. I actually kind of thought this may have been like one of the better Canelo performances. And I say that I've seen, but I didn't sit down and watch the full 12 rounds. Yeah. Just what I, and here's the thing about Canelo.
What was the domination?
Yeah, but Canelo, the one thing, if you're local here in San Diego and you've heard about this, Canelo kind of has this reputation for being, you know, he's a fun-loving guy. He has a lot of other interests outside of just boxing. You know, he does love golf. He definitely, when he lost that fight a few fights ago to that Russian dude, that was a bit of a wake-up call for him. Like, hey, look, I'm the best fighter in the world, but I just let one go. And I need to recommit myself to training. And in the lead up to this fight, and by the way, ever since that fight, from what I understand, he has been way, way, way more committed to his training than ever before. And I just think it shows up, you know? And because Jaime Munguia is a good fighter. He was undefeated going into this fight. He was like 43-0.
Yeah, he's a very good fighter, but it was just one of those things. And I think Oscar said it, and I'm agreeing with Oscar so much today, but I am. I think he said it perfectly. I think this was like when Canelo fought Mayweather. He just wasn't ready for that level of fighter yet, and it showed. But I don't think this is going to detract Munguia at all. I think he's going to take a lot from this, learn from this, and move on. But as far as Canelo goes, there's bigger and better now, dude. Like I don't know if it's actually going to happen, whether it be September, which is the next big fight weekend normally, Mexican Independence Day. He's got to fight Benavidez next. He's got to fight Crawford next. He's got to go out and fight. There's two guys on the radar, and that's it.
Who was the guy who he was looking at after
Benavidez?
Okay.
Benavidez, yeah. So, and I don't know if it's going to take some Saudi Arabian money to come up in here and just throw, like, boatloads of cash towards Canelo to make it happen. But I think as a big Canelo fan, and as a very big Mexican fighter fan, you got to take these fights now, next.
Okay, and who's Benavidez? You'd have to kind of fill me in a little bit.
You know what, dude? People want to think that he's going to be like the next big thing, David Benavidez. Mm-hmm. He's like I think he's like the middleweight champion for the WBC. Mm-hmm. So they would be lined up as a perfect weights against each other. You know, some guys just get hyped up, right? Like the Charlo brothers got hyped up, and then Canelo beat one of them because the other one, I don't know why there's two of them, but whatever. I think that's the next thing, is that Benavidez is like the guy that everybody wants to see. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, you don't really know until you get in the ring with someone. And I think that's kind of the case with Benavidez. And Canelo is like, sounds good, sounds fun, but we'll see.
So Benavidez, I'm just looking him up, 27 years old, three-time WBC super middleweight champion. And he's American.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, look, man. This has been a lot of people's problem with boxing. I'm not the first person to vocalize this. This is more of a broken record situation. This is the one thing Dana White got right. For all Dana White's political talkings, the one thing he nailed with the UFC, it has an owner. And it has somebody who says, you will fight this person on this date. Let's get busy. And that's what boxing needs. Because if this Benavidez guy,
trying to look him up right now on Instagram.
If he's the next one up that will generate the most interest for the sport, and generate massive purses for both fighters, this should happen.
Yeah.
But oftentimes in boxing, this gets avoided because of, for whatever reason, guys don't want to fight each other because they don't want that loss on their record, or they just don't want to take the chance of getting embarrassed. But that's the whole thing, is fighting.
So Benavidez, three-time WBC middleweight champ at the super middleweight level, 28-0, 24 knockouts. And then in his Instagram, it says, shop my merch, which, you know, listen, I can't blame the dude for that.
Shout out.
Yeah, but I think in boxing, you know, the fighters are the power. So if the fighter don't want to do it, they don't got to do it, especially when you have a bank account like Canelo and a resume like Canelo. Mm-hmm. What is my incentive to do this? And I get what you're saying, Browner, and I agree with you. But I also think now that even the UFC is facing that problem because these guys get so big. Conor McGregor gets so big. He is so filthy rich that he can take 4 years off and not have to worry about a thing. John Jones can fight once every 2 years because he's so freaking loaded. So it's like, as much as we want to give Dana White credit because he wants to put those fights together, at the same time, they've also ran into that problem.
Well,
because
the UFC
ain't drawing the way it used to when Conor and John Jones were fighting.
This is the thing I will add to that. They can find the next version of those dudes.
You say that, but they're trying to find them. They're trying.
That's what I'm saying. They can find the next version of those dudes quicker than you can in boxing because there are more guys fighting more often than they are in boxing. The system to promote in UFC is a machine. It's far easier done than it is in boxing. That's just my argument on finding the next.
All right, let me give you.
Boxing is doing a good job right now of the guys have been fighting each other, which is like nice to see. I just think that at the end of the day, though, like, if a dude weighs 170 and this dude weighs 150, like, the chances are, like, it's not like magic where they're just going to get in the ring together. In boxing, that's a huge difference, man. Right. So
you can't do that.
And the guy who's got to come down 10 and the guy who's got to go up 10, it's a whole different deal.
It's a lot, man. So,
all right, let me do this. Let me say, you know, you mentioned Dana White. I want to talk about this Tom Brady roast. We'll get there in just 1 second. Before I do, hey, Mushroom Life and Life Brew. I've told this story earlier today in the pre-roll of the podcast and in the mid-roll of the podcast. I'm going to say it for all of our radio listeners as well. When I was up in Boise this past weekend, I went to my buddy's house. He let me use his house this weekend. By the way, shout out to my buddy, Chris Robinson. What a sweetheart of a guy. He's like, dude, I'm going to be in Salt Lake City for my daughter's graduation. Come use my house, use my car, mi casa, su casa. And I said, dude, I really appreciate that. Because let me tell you something. Staying in a house like an Airbnb, which this is his house, but staying in an Airbnb versus a hotel is so much better, in my opinion. It really is.
Really?
I think so. And his house was great. And he had a hot tub there and he had a Peloton bike and just, you know, everything I'd want. But you know what also he had in his coffee setup in his kitchen? He had a mushroom coffee, but it wasn't the Life Brew coffee. It was another brand, like one of the original mushroom coffees. And I looked at the back and I looked at the ingredients and I looked at all the different mushrooms and I went, well, wait a second. This is like practically the same ingredients as Brett's coffee, Life Brew. But I said, well, let me taste it because that's what Brett really hangs his hat on is that of all these mushroom coffee brands, his tastes the best. So look, what do you expect me to tell you? That it doesn't? I mean, he's our partner. He's been with us now for a couple of years. He's our partner. Of course, I'm going to tell you his tastes the best. But maybe that's because I was biased because I went into it going, I hope I hate this coffee. but the fact of the matter is that I was like, you know what? This is fine. This is okay. It's only the second time I've ever tried a mushroom coffee outside of Life Brew, but the Life Brew coffee has a flavor and a latte type texture and a sweetness that I like better. And that's what Brett is really hanging his hat on is his coffee tastes better. Now, if they're both using the same natural mushrooms so that you can have memory and focus and nerve regeneration or restorative balance and increased energy. Well, you may get the same effects, but which one tastes better? So I can only tell you this. I like the Life Brew. It's the brand I'm loyal to. And if you've not yet tried mushroom coffee, Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com, and you're going to save 30% when you tell them you're a great friend. Okay. So last night I get home. I land in San Diego. I get onto Netflix, and I'm going to watch this Tom Brady roast. Little do I know that it's going to be 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm an hour and a half in. I got the second half of it to watch. Some initial thoughts for those of you that have already seen it. Freaking Kevin Hart is hilarious. Kevin Hart was great. And by the way, they go off on everybody and they joke around during the roast. Like, I'm killing you. I'm killing you. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
Right.
The only one thing, and I wonder if this was planned, is Jeffrey Ross, who's really the roast master. He tells the story. I don't know if you guys saw it. Brian, have you seen this yet? Or will you see it?
I've seen cuts of it. I haven't seen it in
as an aspiring stand-up, you should watch this for real. Kevin Hart, Jeffrey Ross is doing this bit, and he tells the story. He goes, young Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round, and the story's famous by now. And Brady walks into Robert Kraft's office and he says, Mr. Kraft, drafting me was the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage? So he tells, and it was a great punchline, right? Mm-hmm. And Brady stands up, and Brady's getting killed. They're talking about Giselle screwing the karate instructor. They're talking about how much Tom's getting laid now that he's single. I mean, Gronk is getting destroyed all night long for being as dumb as he is, you know, or people think he is, right? Everybody's getting destroyed. But when Jeffrey Ross said that joke about Tom Brady and Bob Kraft, would you like a massage? Brady gets up after the crowd has already laughed it all off, and he says to Ross, don't ever say that again. And Ross was like, okay, no problem. He goes, hey, he's having a good time. He's having a great time over here. I couldn't tell. Was that like a scripted thing where Brady's like, look, you can make a joke about Kraft and you can make a joke about massages, but I have to make it look like I don't like that. Because of all the stuff that I've seen said so far in an hour and a half of a 3-hour roast, I kind of thought that was pretty benign.
The thing,
yeah,
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. The part that I saw on the internet was I saw the Kevin Hart part. I also saw the Nikki Glaser part. I think I saw almost all of the Nikki Glaser part.
Nikki Glaser is hilarious. And I don't really know her work. Hilarious.
Dude, Nikki Glaser is going to be baby mama number 5.
For you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the fifth one coming from.
Okay. Got
it. Mark it on the show. Joe Rigby, write it down.
That sounds weird. I don't know if I should edit that.
So, what?
Like predatory.
What are you talking about?
Bullseye on her.
What do you think, Alex? What do you think about when Brady said that about Bob Kraft? Don't say that.
Yeah, I genuinely was like, okay, this dude's not ready for what's going to come to him. Like, I think everybody thinks it's a good idea. Like, yeah, I'll do a roast. But then he looked very uncomfortable in the beginning. It took him a while to really warm up to it. And I think it was 100% real. And I don't know why that struck a nerve, but it's like, Brady, would you think we weren't going to make jokes about Robert Kraft and his massages? Like,
I mean, we're making jokes about how your wife screwed around with the karate instructor.
Right. Like,
you know,
the shots with Bill Belichick were with Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Kevin Hart. That looked uncomfortable. Like,
Drew Bledsoe.
Bill didn't want to be there.
Dude, Drew Bledsoe was hilarious. When Drew Bledsoe said something, I'm trying to remember how he phrased it, but he was like, hey, listen, you know, I should get Coach Belichick involved. He goes, I know he's got the time. So, and, you know, like, ooh, he's got the – he goes, hey, look, at least when I got fired, there were other teams that wanted me.
But why was this even a thing? Like, why did Tom Brady even – like, there wasn't a charity attached to this. There wasn't – like, normally that's what roasts are, right? Like, we're here
– Yeah, I think because, you know, Netflix right now is having this giant comedy festival in LA.
Joke,
yeah. And every nightclub, every comedy club, every concert venue, it's just comedian after comedian after comedian. Browner, this is something that you got to shoot for. Like, next year, absolutely, you got to try and be in this. Like, same with Lawhead. I mean, if you're not in this, you know, you're not in the game, so to speak, you know.
I wouldn't say you're not in the game, but this is a connect. Getting to Netflix is a joke, is a connection business. You got to work your way up the ladder. You got to shake the right hands. You got to get in the right circles. And so that's definitely something that I'm aiming to do. There's a couple of things I got my eye on as far as like stepping stones or milestones to just kind of show I'm making progress in my career in the time that I'm going. So I'm getting there.
All right. Hey, listen, Alex, you think we got time to get to a highlight of the day, man?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
All right, promo code Kaplan Crew. Kaplan Crew. Spend $75 at Torrey, California, Oxnard, Holistic. You'll get 20% off your purchase when you use promo code Kaplan Crew. And Ruthie's going to come on the show on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah. Ruthie's back down at Torrey now. Yeah, Ruthie's back. Charlie took off. By the way, if I showed you guys what Charlie gave me to give to you guys, You would not believe it. I mean, he just freaking loaded me up. He's like, "There's a gift for you and the guys."
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen you.
Give to us because you're too busy paying for world round trips.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's straight up facts. Yeah. All right, Alex. Highlight of the day. What do you got?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm about to do this, but I mean, how often does this happen in any sport? NASCAR was in Kansas this weekend, and no one cares. I genuinely don't care. But the ending where Kyle Larson won the race by 0.001 seconds.
How do you even count that?
Because like the Kentucky Derby, they also have a finish line that's like down the line. And as you can see, barely there's any space, but the number five car.
I'm contesting.
No. The top car has crossed the blue line before the bottom car. I mean, if you look at the Kentucky Derby picture, I mean, if you go back to the photo finish of the Kentucky Derby, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the three horse wins the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's obvious. You can see that.
Yeah, I think that's I can see one. It in the NASCAR.
The one, if you look at the red, line, he's clearly at the red line, so he won the race.
Yeah, but is literally winning an auto race by an inch. You
cannot win a race by a smaller margin. It is physically impossible. That's crazy.
All right, everybody who's with us on radio, stay with us. We got a lot more to get to. Everybody who's with us on podcast, let's go get uncensored. All right, everybody, time to get uncensored all up in this beyond. So you guys think I got taken this weekend, huh, by my daughter and that other kid's mother?
It was a setup.
It was a total setup, man.
Setup.
I know. Total setup.
But I don't think it required a setup. I think you would have done it. Because I think you just get so caught up in pride and happiness for your child that, like, I don't think she needed the whole long play. It worked, so kudos to her.
Yeah, I don't think
you would have, like, if she would have, like, just like, "Dad, this is, would you do this for me?" I think you would have done it.
If she would have said to me like 2 months ago, "Hey, listen, after I graduate, a group of people are going down to Costa Rica and I really want to go with them. And, you know, I'll be safe because I'm with three dudes and, you know, the mom's already put it all together and blah, blah, blah." I don't know if I would have been into it, because the other part of it is I was to Jillian, I'm like, "Well, you need to ask the mom, like, what are you responsible for? You know, she's saying just get down there because they've already booked everything and paid for everything." I'm like, "You know, are you now in for, like, are they splitting everything instead of thirds? Right. Now it's quarters," you know? So I don't know, man.
If he would have had forewarning about this, he'd have made her financially plan for it. He wouldn't have just cut that check like that, dog. I'm telling you, that dad pressure, man. He was at the table with the dad pressure. Yeah. Everybody pulling out their phones. Cause I'm telling you right now, if I see somebody with some shoes and my son liked them shoes, and it's like, "Oh yeah, we got the shoes from so-and-so. Guess what I'm coming back with next day, bro? Three pairs." Okay? Okay? Because I ain't having it. It's unseen, unspoken level of pressure, okay, that exists amongst parents. You don't want your child to be the child that gets the knot. It doesn't matter what the knot is if you're comparing the halves. And so that's all that happened to him. Alex, it'll happen to you at the dog park one day. Somebody will have a fancy dog collar, and you'll be like, "Oh, look at that dog collar."
Yeah.
And they'll be like, "Oh, this dog's got this kind of collar and leash." You'll be like, "I could get one of those." Google. Mm-hmm.
No, I definitely think Browner's, I think, right on this, that there was this pressure of, you know, our kids are all going to Costa Rica. And but I will say this, Briar, you're right. But I also,
but like, how long is she there for? This is why I know you got set up. Because like, what, she don't have a job?
She does have a job.
Right. And it's already, she has the days off magically?
No, she didn't. She actually texted the person that is her boss. And she said, "Hey, my dad surprised me with this trip to Costa Rica." Mm-hmm. "I didn't know, I told her, I said, well, you tell her, hey, look,
trip's unrefundable.
If I can't change it and you need me and I can't, then I will make the changes. Like, show her that you're committed to the job, you know?"
Mm-hmm. So, and she still got 12 days off just magically.
Well, I will just tell you this, that the place that I was staying at when I was in Boise, my buddy Chris, he's the owner of the company.
Oh.
So then I texted him. I'm like, "Hey, man, I didn't tell you this, but I surprised Jillian. You know, I got her trip.
She needs 12 days off."
Yeah.
So when is she going? Wednesday?
She's going Wednesday this week.
Hey, Scott, I forgot to tell you. I have a vacation planned, and it starts on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah?
Me and Mar. I surprised Mar.
Yeah.
Actually, she surprised me. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we're going down to Mexico.
Okay.
And two things. A, I need 12 days off starting Wednesday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then B, I need to stay at Rachel's place.
So. Well, I'll tell you what, man.
Oh, also,
yeah.
If you can,
yeah.
I would like you to buy me some airplane tickets if you're available.
I mean, it's hella last minute, but
yeah. But it's cheap because, you know, I got global entry now, so we can go from the border X.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's a surprise for somebody else. It's a surprise for somebody else.
Right. So. Marsh surprised me for my birthday. So
he had no control over it.
I had no control. And it's my birthday month, you know. So
I'll tell you what, man. When is your birthday? What's your official day?
May 31st.
You pick one.
May 31st. I'll tell you what. Here's what I can offer you.
Okay.
You can definitely use Rachel's place. She'd probably be ecstatic that you'd be using it.
Uh huh.
Oh,
she's like a fourth complete though, where it feels.
Oh no, no, it's all. Oh yeah, yeah. The building itself is like is only like a fourth complete.
Yeah, like a hurricane might tumble the whole thing down.
No, but her place, dude. You open the door and you're like, and then you close the door behind you and you're like, out there is a third world country. In here is freaking luxury.
There's furniture and stuff now and Starlink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Starlink, dog.
Dude. Shout out to Starlink.
So, Browner.
Not the person who created it.
After tomorrow, I got 12 days off.
12 days coming to him.
Hey, man, you know what? I don't know. I'll tell Mar. Listen, because I don't want to just do that to you, Scott, the way your daughter didn't do it to her boss.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's okay, how about just like 6 days off?
That seems reasonable.
See, that's a compromise. Okay. Look at that.
Yeah. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. All right. Okay. Well, there you go, everybody. See how easy it is?
There's a lot of snow at Mammoth. So while he gone, I see there's a lot of snow at Mammoth, you know, I might as well figure out something to do while he gone so you can have some extra time off because, you know, you need to relax.
That's a good idea.
You've been traveling. You've been taking care of all these kids in college and stuff, dog. You need some time off, big dog. You've been working so hard.
I think the three of us need to all celebrate the fact that Jillian graduated.
I agree.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Listen, I got to get out of here.
Nothing wrong with that.
I got to roll. Much love to everybody.
LA Cap. See you later, LA Cap.
LA Cap got to go. LA
you
Cap
on Netflix
go.
Is a joke tonight or what?
I don't know. Is there anything going on tonight?
all week.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to. No, not tonight. I'm in San Diego tonight. I'm SD Cap tonight.
Okay.
All right. We got to go. We love you. We're out of here.